BitCo is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm Duncan MacLeod. I'm on a Skype out call now to Zunaid Mayet, the CEO of JSE-listed EOH, which I think it's fair to say has been through the wars in the past year. EOH announced a 24% decline in headline earnings per share for the 6 months ended January 2018, probably the first time it's ever really disappointed investors. The share price has been under considerable pressure for some time now amid a series of news reports about alleged possible corruption. Zunaid, welcome to the podcast, and thank you so much for talking to Tech Central today. I know we only have 15 minutes or so, so shall we dive straight in?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Duncan.
It's a pleasure, Zunaid. Thanks for talking to us. You've clearly had a torrid 12 months as a business, and I think it's correct to say that you've had a bit of a baptism of fire as CEO, having taken the reins last year from the founding CEO, Asher Bobot. Let me start by asking you what you've learnt from everything that's happened in that time. In hindsight, were there governance processes that perhaps needed fixing? And why did dealing with all of this take so much of your time if EOH was indeed innocent of the allegations levelled against it?
Thanks, Duncan. It's certainly been a character-building period, I have to say. And the learnings have been absolutely massive. Perhaps, maybe let me take you back a little bit, Duncan, and I guess this all started around April last year when there was an article published about one of the directors in EOH, and, you know, it was an article that didn't allege anything, but it had lots of innuendo and insinuation. Mm. We engaged the media house that essentially published the article. And to their credit, they were very open, very engaging, and I guess over a period we eventually resolved it. But it took us 6 months to do so, where after 6 months they published a correction. Mm-hmm. Now, the challenge and our problem was that all of this happened in a period where in our country, I think there was lots of noise in the market, and I think anything... We've become so sensitive, and rightly so, to anything that even smacks of unethical conduct or behavior that we take a very dim view on, because I think we've, as a country, I guess we've reached sort of cutthroat state, if I can say that.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
And so, you know, during this period, a number of publications then repeated this article, not knowing that we were in engagement process with the media house concerned, notwithstanding that we very clearly and categorically stated that there was no truth to any of what was published. So at the end of the period, and it took us 6 months, by the way, it was 6 months of an extensive engagement with the media house, and at the end of it, I'm very pleased with the conduct of the media house, that they were open enough to listen to us. Firstly, we opened our books, we were extremely open and transparent, and at the end of it, they published a correction, and that they found nothing and no evidence to suggest anything unlawful or illegal or improper at EOH. The problem is it took 6 months to do that. Mm-hmm. And the damage done in that 6 month period to EOH, the brand, I think the impact on our people, the trauma that an organization goes through when, you know, when your organization is being accused of something or insinuated to have done something that we haven't done. I think that's been the issue. So your introduction suggested that perhaps there were governance lapses, perhaps there was something improper done. Mm. That couldn't be further from the truth.
Okay. Zinaid, let's go back and look at this acquisition that you did of this group that owned this company called FDA, or Forensic Data Analytics, led by the controversial businessman Keith Keating. Just take us back to how that acquisition came about in the first place. And did EOH do a proper due diligence on it? Did you have any suspicions at the time of the acquisition that there might be problems there?
So the acquisition was done, I think, a little over 2 years ago now. So I think it was October 2015, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
At the time, I've come to understand that the due diligence that was done was conducted with the assistance and the support of one of the large audit and consulting houses in the country. So one of the big four or five or however many they are. And we've got a pretty comprehensive due diligence process, a very comprehensive acquisition framework, because we've been doing this for some years now.
Yes.
So if one goes back and looks at the due diligence, I don't think there's anything that was missed that suggested that, that we should have found or identified anything that suggested unethical conduct, firstly. So having said that, though, what we have done, and I just want to touch on this, what we have done is we've disposed of the business, as you know.
Yes.
It's had an impact on our earnings for the year. We've taken an almost 400 million non-cash once-off impact to our income statement. But as part of that disposal, and in light of the allegations, we commissioned ENS to come in and do some work for us. One of the things ENS was to do was to do a detailed fact-finding review of that group, so the GCT group as we knew it, including FDA, and to look at if there was anything that we had missed from a compliance and governance perspective that would indicate there was something, there was any truth to the allegations. More equally important was to check that there was any exposure to EOH. So if there was any truth, was there any complicity by anyone from within EOH? And what's the exposure to EOH should this thing become go further? So ENS has done a lot of work for us around it. And their findings have been, they gave a report to us just last week, and they presented to the board earlier this week. They haven't found anything to substantiate the allegations. There's also no evidence to suggest any sort of involvement or complicity of anybody at EOH in that business, in anything, let alone the allegations. And that's quite important for us. And then lastly is what's the exposure to EOH should this thing go forward. According to the legal advisors, from an EOH perspective, our exposure is minimum. So, you know, at least we can put that chapter behind us, and it's something we've now cut our ties with the GCT group, and we can move on.
Do you believe it's necessary? Sorry, Zinaid, carry on.
Sorry. The other bit of work that ENS has done for us is to review our compliance and governance framework. And there they have done a full review following our own review of our processes. They've suggested some strengthening and enhancements to the process, and that's being implemented right now. They're also going to play a role for the interim, just to give us do some independent oversight for any new public sector business. That will eventually transition into our into the group's internal audit function. And then they're also ensuring that from a governance perspective, that we're not only compliant from a regulatory viewpoint with South African legislation, but also with international legislation, in particular the US and the UK. Okay. So we've done a hell of a lot of work to firstly ensure that there's no exposure to AOH. The second thing we've done is to ensure that from a governance perspective, we've got a robust and resilient set of processes that's adopted and applied across the business.
So now, do you believe you've lost faith among the investment community, and given everything that's happened in the last year? And if so, what is it going to take to get that trust back?
Yeah. So I certainly think, you know, the last year has certainly, I think, made the market, and I think the investment community in particular, maybe, or specific investors, a little more skeptical and apprehensive. I think the only thing that will ultimately win back the confidence of the market is business performance.
Right, right. And you say that things are looking better now compared to the first half of the financial year, but you have been under margin squeeze. What makes you optimistic about a reversal? And will the business get back to the sort of operating margins that it has historically enjoyed?
We certainly do believe so. You know, we've seen, you know, notwithstanding the noise around EOH, I think one must also understand the broader market conditions over the last 6 to 12 months, maybe even longer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we went to have conversations with our customers, it was more about what was happening in the market and the noise in the market around EOH, as opposed to the substance of the business transactions that we were undertaking. And as a result, we were very deliberate, and we said, we want to ensure we retain all our customers. We mustn't lose a customer or a contract that we have. And I think, by and large, we've done that very successfully. It's come at a small price, where we've had to sacrifice margin. But we understood that was necessary to ensure we retain our position in the marketplace and in the spaces with our customers. We've certainly seen a changing of the tide in the market in this short space of time, and it has been relatively short. But certainly there are strong indications of new movement in the market. We've had a number of new contract and project awards that we've been waiting for quite some time. All of a sudden, many of these across a number of sectors, by the way, we've received awards, and there are negotiations, contract negotiations on the go. So that's a very positive sign. So, you know, we do believe that over time we should get a normalizing of our margins.
Okay. Now, EOH, Zinaid, has historically used its scrip to make acquisitions. It's been a very acquisitive company. Now that the share price has come off substantially from previous levels, how does that affect your ability to make acquisitions going forward?
Yeah. So this is important, I think, an important conversation, and in order to contextualize it, to talk about the strategy of the business moving forward, if you don't mind, Duncan.
Sure.
So you'll know that we announced our new strategy about 2 weeks ago, and the background to that is we're a large, diversified technology solutions organization, diverse across a multitude of dimensions. That diversity certainly gives us strength, it gives us resilience, but it also comes with complexity. Mm. And we believe that, and we're starting to see it, that complexity is negating the benefit we should get from the scale and the critical mass that we have. So that's one consideration. The other is we have very diverse businesses. And having a generic growth strategy doesn't work for all businesses. So what we want to do is we want to establish, and we are establishing, a very deliberate growth platform for each part, for the various parts of the business. So what we've decided to do is to split our business into two. The one will trade under the EOH brand, and that's largely the ICT portfolio, represented by the ICT portfolio within the business. This is a business that is integrated today, and there are more opportunities for further integration of the businesses that represent that portfolio. It's a business that has a comprehensive portfolio, probably the most comprehensive in the market. And by that token, when you consider that, the greatest opportunity for growth is organic growth. Is taking an integrated value proposition to our customers in the markets that we operate in, and it's across a multitude of verticals. There, we believe we're already seeing it. We're going to get significant organic growth out of this business, and the benefits of scale through the integration of the business is going to bring efficiencies into the business, and is going to help us to reduce the cost of doing business.
Okay.
The other side of the business is the business we've dubbed NewCo for now, but over the next 2 to 3 weeks we will have the branding available, and we will be ready to launch. And that business is a business that's characterized by specialization in a number of domains. And these domains are either specific industries or particular disciplines in the market. Now, the ability to integrate these offerings in the marketplace is limited. But the opportunity to grow in each of the domains through both acquisition as well as organically is quite significant. And that's the part of the business where we see probably more significant organic growth moving forward.
Okay.
Now you talk about the share price and its impact. You know, we've also concluded and we're finalizing a partnership, strategic partnership with Le Bache Investment Holdings. And part of that transaction is them making available a 3 billion rand war chest, a growth funding facility, which we will have available. So moving forward, of course, that gives us the resources and the capacity to fund growth if we need to use cash to do so.
Right, right. I know we are running up against time already, but two quick questions before I let you go, Zinaid. First one is just again related to the share price. Part of the reason EOH's share price fell so sharply in December down to below 30 rand a share at one point is because some directors, I think it was Jahan McKay and your CFO, John King, were in leveraged positions and were then forced to dump shares on the market by their financiers. Have you addressed that situation at all? Have you made any changes to ensure that that sort of situation does not occur again?
Yeah. So what we've done, Duncan, is a couple of things. So we're in the midst of changing our share option program, where equity based compensation is part of the broader remuneration of key people in the business, and certainly the conditions attached to that will be that we don't want any of that to be leveraged, and then we've got a set of guidelines, and it's quite difficult to direct people to do something when it's not illegal to have a leveraged position against your equity, but it certainly is not well received by the market. So we've got sort of a code of conduct and some guidelines for the directors in the business in terms of what to do and how to conduct themselves in the face of the market when it comes to their own equity position in the company.
Okay. Just lastly, Zinaid, before I let you go, what's the mood like inside EOH today amongst employees? I know Asher Bobot, the newly appointed non-executive chairman, said in his presentation that people were worried about losing their jobs. They were worried about the, you know, the general situation and the share price and what was happening during the course of the last year. Have you been able to hold on to your talent through this turbulent period?
Yeah, look, I think both customer retention and skills retention has been an important focus for us. You know, you said I think at the beginning that we disappointed the market with the results that we came out.
Yeah.
You know, given what we've been through over the last year, my own view is I think it would have been unrealistic and naive to expect that to not have impacted the performance of the business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as our people are concerned, certainly the business has been through some sort of trauma. But through that, we've been talking to our people, but more importantly, ensuring that we retain critical skills and key skills in the business. And I think, moving forward, the announcement of our strategy 2 weeks ago, the partnership with Le Bachet, has been well received from inside of the business. I think there's a sense of excitement. There's certainly clarity, a whole lot more clarity in terms of the future and where the future, what the future holds and where we want to take the business. And that has, I think, to a large extent, served to energize the business and the group.
Okay. We are definitely now out of time, Zinaid. Thanks very much. I know we have gone over a couple of minutes. I look forward to hearing more details about the name of this new business that you're creating. I also look forward to seeing the full year results and the performance improvements, which are hopefully going to flow through in the second half of the year. Zinaid Mayet is CEO of EOH. Thank you so much for this brief but insightful discussion with Tech Central today.
Thank you, Duncan. All the best.